Good to see you all this morning. Yeah, I want to talk this morning about the Holy Spirit. The text is going to be from John chapter 7. I told Dot 37 through 40, but it's actually 37 through 39. John 7, 37 through 39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for the assurance we have of your word that all your promises in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. I thank you for those who have come out to hear your word this morning. Father, I ask that you put your words in my mouth, that you would speak to us, help us to understand the importance of the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is at the Feast of Tabernacles. This was the seventh month of the Jewish calendar, Tishri, and the equivalence in our time is the end of September into early October. It was celebrated for 8 days. It was called the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths because for 8 days the Jews would pitch tents around the temple, in the garden areas, on the flat roof of houses. And they would live in those tents to commemorate when their fathers lived in the wilderness for 40 years. They would go out and cut myrtle and palm and willow branches, tie them in bundles with a silver or gold cord or ribbon, and they carry them with them for 8 days. When they went to the synagogue, they put their bundle down beside them. When they left, they picked their bundle up and carried it. For 7 days, there were sacrifices made, first for the 70 nations around them. The Jews would offer sacrifices for the pagan nations and pray for them. But on the 8th day, it was called the Great Day or the Solemn Day. It was very special. Every day for 7 days, as the sacrifices were offered, the people would carry their sticks and they would walk around the altar and they would sing from Isaiah chapter 12 and Psalms 113 through 119. And especially in Isaiah 12, where the Lord said, "With joy you shall draw water from the wells of salvation." So they celebrated their harvest. They offered their first fruits. They offered the sacrifices prescribed by the law. And they sang for 7 days, 8 days actually, about God's salvation. Isaiah 12 is where God promises, "I will be your salvation. This is what you will say, the Lord is my salvation." One thing they didn't quite get, they thought it was still going to be by the works of the law. All right, they didn't understand Jeremiah where God said, "I'm going to create a new covenant. I'm going to institute a new covenant." And he said, "I will be in you. I will write my laws in your heart and in your minds. And I will be your God and you will be my people." They believed that God would pour his spirit out. In the Psalms, David talked about, the Lord spoke about pouring his spirit out on a dry and dusty land. On the 8th day, as they circled the altar, as they sang these songs, one of the priests took a gold vial and he went down to the pool of Siloam. You remember the Lord did some miracles at the pool of Siloam. And he filled it with water. He brought it back and they would pour wine into the water. So they would mix the wine and the water together. And the priest would pour the water over the sacrifice while the people would praise God for his salvation. That day was called Hosanna Rabbah, because it was the great Hosanna. Hosanna means "God save, we beg you. We beseech you, save us." So they would be singing for God's salvation to come that he had promised in Isaiah. And they also sang for God's Spirit to come as he had promised in the prophets and in the Psalms. And it's at this moment when the crowd is singing and they are praising and they're thanking God and they're asking him, send your salvation, send your Spirit, that our Lord stands up. And he says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. He didn't say, if anyone has prayed and fasted enough, if anyone has studied the word enough, if anyone has an understanding of theology. He said, is anyone thirsty? I'm not a theologian. I've had theology. I had to have it, but I'm not a theologian. But I'm thankful that Jesus didn't say, well, Rick, if you reach a stage in study of theology, then you can have my Spirit. He didn't say that. We all know what it is to be thirsty. Jesus starts out by saying, are you thirsty? Then come to me. Now, I've been hearing over the years, you know my testimony. When I got saved in 1984, I attended several different churches. I attended a non-denominational, which is really extremely denominational. When you get them all together, everybody's got their denominational viewpoints. I attended Southern Baptist, Free Will Baptist, Nazarene, Pentecostal, Full Gospel Assemblies of God. I guess you could have said I was a church hopper, and I wasn't looking for the perfect church because I knew if I found it, they wouldn't let me in. But I was trying to find a place where I felt like I plugged in coming out of this church as a child. But I want to be honest with you, church. When I came to Jesus Christ in February of 1984, and I started reading the word for myself, I found myself in the position of the Ephesian believers when Paul came to them and said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. I had never heard anything taught or mentioned about the Holy Spirit. I was told, well, he embodies this word. Some people say, well, he's a manifestation of God's power. He's just power. Well, in the book of Acts, Ananias and Sapphira came and tried to mislead Peter about how much money they got. And Peter said, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? How many people know you can't lie to power? You can't lie to wind. You can't lie to electricity. Paul said to the church at Ephesus, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. That means that he is a person. You can't grieve power. He has to be a person. Peter called him the Spirit of Christ who spoke through the prophets. Paul called him the mind of Christ, whom God has sent to live within his people. He called him the Spirit of adoption. In fact, Paul went on to say, if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to Jesus Christ. Now, wait a minute. Are you talking about gifts of the Spirit and signs of the Spirit? No, that's not what I'm talking about. I was in the Pentecostal church for 3 years. I saw a lot of phoniness. I saw a lot of ignorance in the Word of God. I met godly people there. People I believe were filled with the Spirit. But I met a lot of people that wanted to act like they were filled with the Spirit. I found out in that Sunday school the teachers were trying to teach my children how to speak in tongues so they could say they were filled with the Spirit. And I pulled my kids out of the class, tipped my hat, said it's been nice knowing y'all. Yes, there's phoniness done in the name of the Spirit. The Bible doesn't give one single manifestation of the evidence of the Holy Spirit. Men have done that. And I'm saying that to you in love and in the boldness of the Lord. Nowhere did you read where Jesus said, and you're going to receive my Spirit and you're going to speak in tongues. That'll be the initial evidence. or you're going to heal, or you're going to prophesy. Jesus didn't say that. What did he say? You're going to love. A filling of the Holy Spirit, church, is a filling of the very love of God that he pours into our hearts. Love for him and love for others. I remember one church I was in. I won't name it because that seems to offend people, especially if they come from that background. But there was a guy there, he was really interested in me because God hadn't told me to get a haircut yet. So when I started going to church, I had hair down to here. Had a big old scraggly beard. He told me one time I looked like a hippie. I said, man, hippies are 60s. I'm a freak. We were freaks in the 70s. Those were hippies in the 60s. You got me all wrong. But he wanted to talk to me and hear my opinion about scriptures. He wanted to talk about scripture. And that thrilled me. I like to sit and talk about the word of God with God's people. It kind of bugs me when I get around God's people and they don't want to talk about the word. And we began to talk, and he asked me about the filling of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe it? I said, yes. The Bible says that God will fill us with his Spirit. And I'll never forget, he looked at me, and in a very smug and arrogant way, he said, well, if it's real, I don't need it. Really? You don't need the love of God shed abroad in your heart? You don't need the fruit of the Spirit in your life, love, joy, peace, patience. You don't need to know God. Jesus said, no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. What did he tell us about his Spirit when he sent him? He will teach you. Do you understand that the Spirit of God is the revealer of the truths of this word? He is a revealer of the very person of God the Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did not come here to glorify himself. That's another reason I left that church. They began to glorify the gifts of the Spirit and not the giver. And if you glorify the Holy Spirit, you will grieve him because Jesus said he's not here to glorify himself. He's here to glorify me, the Lord. And I couldn't believe when I talked to this brother that he said, I don't need that. I'm fine. Yeah, you look fine. I felt sorry for him. And I understand what goes on, church. When Stone and Campbell came out of the Presbytery movement, they disagreed with the Westminster Confession. I don't have time to go into that, but you can go look it up online. And when they walked away from that, they threw the baby out with the washwater. But I don't believe in pre-election. I don't believe in predetermination. I don't believe in it. And I also don't believe in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know people that don't believe in the Trinity. I worked with a guy. He was from what's called a oneness Pentecostal church. It's called modelism. God's only one, and God's the Father when he needs to be the Father. He's the Son when he needs to be the Father. Son, he's the Holy Spirit when he needs to be the Holy Spirit. Are you even now more confused? Yeah, I mean, you get out there and get into what churches are teaching, it can be very confusing and mind-boggling. And I understand why some people are so afraid of the filling of the Holy Ghost, because they think they got to fall on the ground and flop around like a chicken with their head cut off and babble. And I don't want that. I don't blame you. I don't want it either. But what I do want to know is I want to know Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit is here to do, to reveal Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus told his disciples they were to go into the world and preach the gospel, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe everything that I've commanded you. But you remember what he said? But wait until you are endued with power. It is the Spirit of God that empowers us to be witnesses. And I'm not talking about signs and wonders. It's the Spirit of God who opens the Word of God to us. It's the Spirit of God who brings the Word to our remembrance when we're struggling and we're needing that comfort. Jesus called him the Comforter, the Paraclete, he who comes along beside of you. And this guy I keep going back to, I couldn't believe he was saying, I don't need comfort. I don't need joy. I don't need peace. I don't need to know the Lord. He didn't say it like that, but that's what I was hearing. One of the most miserable Christians I ever met in my life. Before we got done, he said, if you'd cut your hair, you'd look more like a Christian. That's what I told him. They had a picture of the Lord, an artist concept of the Lord in the church, and he had hair down to his shoulders, wore sandals and a beard. I said, you need to look at that picture. You got a Jesus hanging in there. I don't think he'd be welcome here either. Well, that's just the way they wore it back then. I said, well, this is the way I wear it now. What's your problem? See? Sometimes we try to lay a bunch of rules on people and regulations. This statement Jesus made, they were following the rituals prescribed in the law of Moses. But what was Jesus saying? You won't receive the Spirit like that. You will not be saved through what you're doing. Do you want to be saved? Then you come to me. Church, we have to be careful. It's great we invite people to church, but don't substitute that for salvation. Jesus said to the Jews of his day, unless you believe I'm the one I say that I am, you will die in your sins. And I think he took no pleasure in that. He didn't gloat. He didn't snarl. He just said, you don't get it. All that the prophets wrote about him was fulfilled. Brother Wayne mentioned that. Everything. Including salvation, and God filling his people with his Spirit. Church, he's nothing to be afraid of. I received the filling of the Holy Spirit before I entered into ministry. 1992. I'm going to tell you something. I never knew what love was. I never knew what joy was. I never knew what peace was. And for me, it was like the Holy Spirit put one hand on my shoulder and one hand on the Lord's shoulder and said, Rick, this is Jesus. Woo-hoo! Did I speak in tongues? No. Did I prophesy? No. Did I shout? Yeah. My sister's father-in-law lived down the road from me, and it was a full moon that night. And man, I was just walking up the road. I had my hands in the air, just praising God, shouting, and thanking him for what he had done in my life. And her father-in-law called her and said, you better get up, or I think your brother's on drugs again. What he said, she drove up there all concerned, and she got out, are you all right? I said, why? Well, he said, you're high. Well, never mind. She said, never mind. He got back in the car and went on. Praise God. I'm high. I'm high on the Holy Ghost. That's all I knew to say. Man, I would love to walk in that anointing 24/7, but I'd be no good to you or anybody else. I was like Peter. Lord, I want to stay right here. You know, I had a meeting to preach in a few days. I don't want to preach. I want to stay right here. I want to keep drinking this in. I want this fellowship. I don't want anybody else to have the fellowship but me. Let's just spend some me and you time, God. And God goes, no. You know why he gives us the Spirit to church? To enable us to minister in his name. I was sharing with a guy one time, and he kept throwing stuff at me, and boy, the Spirit kept throwing stuff back at him, and the more he threw at me, the more I threw back, and the more my joy increased, and I'm just going, wow, wow. And the Lord said, you keep pouring it out, I'll keep pouring it in. I know some of you are going, I don't believe this. That's okay. Rick's freaked out. He's finally went Pentecostal on us. We're going to have to hire us a Baptist or somebody to come in here and preach. You know, this guy's getting out left field. Hey, that's fine. I'm just saying, don't be afraid of the person of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You should welcome him. Did you know the Lord said that the Father is more willing to give him to us than we are to ask? He said, you know how to give good gifts to your children. If they ask for an egg, you don't give them a snake. He said, how much more will the Holy Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? But did you hear the requirement? Are you thirsty? Do you thirst to know God? Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know what that tells me? When we don't hunger and thirst for righteousness, we are filled with ourselves and we're satisfied that we've reached it. We know all we need to know. I remember one lady in church I used to fill in and preach. She said, preacher, don't confuse me with the facts. Just tell me enough to be saved. And I thought, oh my goodness. God wants you and I to know him. Paul said, who knows a person better than the spirit of the person within them? We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God. God wants to reveal himself to our people. I'm not talking about extra biblical revelation. I'm talking about that there will be times in your life that you will be hurting, that you will be confused, that you will be doubting, and you will cry out to God and say, oh God, and God will reveal some more of himself to you. He'll reveal some more of this word to you. You'll see things you never saw before. I made a mistake the other Sunday and I said I've been a Christian 34 years. I've been a Christian 39 years. It'll be 40 years this February. I've been reading this book 40 years, not bragging. I see something new all the time. This book is an inexhaustible recorded account of who God is, who Jesus Christ is, who the Holy Spirit is, and who we are, and who we are in Christ. The Holy Spirit will remind you of that. Times in my life I felt alone. God, where are you? And he'd remind me, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You see, church, you can't base your faith on feelings because feelings are fickle. I remember one lady that was talking to me and I felt this and I felt that. I felt the Spirit, I felt this, and I felt the Spirit. I said, how do you know it wasn't gas? I mean, everything you're talking about is feeling, feeling, feeling. Do we walk by faith or sight? Do we walk by faith or emotion? Faith. If God said it, will he do it? Yeah. If he said, I'll never leave you, it doesn't matter how alone you feel. If you're a child of God and the Spirit of Christ is in you, he's not going to leave. Sometimes I think he shuts up just to let you sort things out. I've had times the Lord gave me the silent treatment like my wife, and I hate it. Lord, nothing. Lord, nothing. Well, come on. And then when I would repent, all right, I'm wrong. All right, now we can talk. Young men that I have performed marriages for them and their wives, I get the young men to the side and I said, there's two phrases you need to learn to make it through marriage. I'm sorry, and I was wrong. Yeah, I can see women out there, are you listening to this? But you know, I have found in my relationship with Jesus Christ that when I'm in the wrong, he doesn't overlook it and he doesn't allow me to overlook it. He says, no. you're wrong. And you can't go any further until you make that right. Now, some have speculated that this passage is about salvation alone because of Isaiah 12:3, with joy you shall draw water from the wells of salvation. But John kind of confirms that it is not when he said this, he spoke of the Holy Spirit, that those who believed in him were to receive. There's another thing. You have to receive him, church. God is not going to take you down and jam the Holy Ghost in your ear or down your throat or forcibly place him within you. You receive that. Father, I receive what you have for me. And I'm not talking about spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit gives the gifts to whom he will, as he will. It is fallacy when any church says, well, every believer has these gifts. That is fallacy. You go to 1 Corinthians 12, Paul refutes that. Are all apostles, are all prophets, do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all have access to the Spirit of God, all children of God? Yes. We talk about Jesus dying to secure our salvation, and praise God, that is the truth. But he also died and was raised again and returned to heaven to secure the assurance that his Spirit can live within us. Remember what he told the apostles, the disciples? It's good for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, I can't send the Comforter. But when I go away, I'll send him, and I won't leave you alone. Those years that the Lord taught, he protected them, he comforted them, he counseled them, and all of a sudden he goes, well, I'm going away. Now what do we do? He said, don't worry. I'm not going to leave you alone. Am I trying to make you think like a Pentecostal? No. But I'm trying to say that you do not need to fear the person of the Holy Ghost. There's always been false prophecy, church. Always been false teaching. It plagued Israel. It plagues the church. But don't walk away because of something false you have heard or seen and say, well, then none of it's real. That's what Stone and Campbell did, in my opinion. We don't agree with the Westminster Confession, so we walk away from the whole Westminster Confession. Wait a minute, there were some good things in Westminster Confession. You don't throw it all out. Have you been filled with the Spirit? Yeah, some of you probably say, like the other guy, I don't need it. I don't believe in it. I don't want it. I don't trust it. That's fine. That's between you and the Lord. But Jesus said, do you thirst? Do you thirst to know God? Do you thirst for God's wisdom? Do you thirst for his sanctification? Then he said, if you're thirsty, come and ask me. Would you stand with me this morning, please? I'm so glad that I serve a patient God. Like I said, I've been reading this book almost 40 years, and I'm still learning, and I'm so glad he's so patient with me. There's times I've wanted to walk away, and he didn't say, yeah, go. He wooed me back. He pulled me back. He would send people across my path to encourage me, to rebuke me. God wants a relationship with you, church. And you will find that in the person of the Holy Spirit.